Well, good morning, everyone. Boy, we've got a good crowd, even with all of those that are sick and those that are traveling and those that have different obligations and things that are going on today. We have a lot of visitors in our audience today. We're grateful you're here. We want you to know that. We're thankful that you've decided to come and worship with us at the church that meets in Bel Air, Texas. If we get an opportunity or you allow us, we'd love to meet you. All of us would love to meet you and let you know how thankful we are that you are here. Wow. I mean, Tosin to Jordan to Alex to Michael leading singing. Fantastic. What a wonderful service. And thank all of you for singing with such passion. I really appreciate that so much. So, who will go to heaven? I can tell you, I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be with the Lord when I die. The question is, how am I going to get there? Who's going to go? You know, I found a fascinating study poll that was taken back last November, where 6,000 people were asked a grouping of questions. And I want to share that with you. But I also want to share with you another poll that was done in 2005. And it's amazing to me how the answers are so much alike, seeing as how we've all gone through so much since 2005 to 2021. But before I do that, I want to put this verse up on the board. And I want you to think about it as we go through the results of this poll. Someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" So in other words, how many will go? Will it be a whole lot of people that go to heaven, or will it just be a few? So this lady, Mayan Jaffe Hoffman, as I said back in November, around the 23rd, right before Thanksgiving, wrote an article after having interviewed, as I say, over 6,000 people. And the results of this Pew Research Center survey was taken. And it's interesting to me the answers to the questions that they ask. Nearly a third, 31% of all American Christians say their religion is the one true faith leading to eternal life in heaven, compared with 58% who say that there are multiple religions that can lead to such eternal reward. 19% of evangelicals say that members of other Christian denominations can achieve eternal life in heaven. 44% say that many religions can get you there. Those of our friends of the Catholic faith are much more likely, 71%, to believe those things. About a third, 32% of Americans also say that people who do not believe in God cannot enter heaven, compared with 39% who say they can. Evangelical Protestants especially feel that belief in God is a prerequisite for heaven, with 71% saying that only those who have it can go. Now, around a quarter of American adults, 26%, do not believe in heaven or hell. Fascinated by that. More than half of Americans, 58%, say they believe in God as described in the Bible. But another third, 32%, say they believe in some other higher power. Now, that survey, that poll, I want to compare to another that was done in 2005 by Newsweek and BeliefNet. And they ask 1,004 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. Can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? And here are their responses. Evangelical Protestants is about the same, right? Yes. With 22% saying no and 10% that says they don't know. And non-evangelical Protestants, 83%, 10%. Catholics, 91%, 3%. Non-Christians, 73%, 3%, and 24%. That just fascinated me, because this would suggest that most people believe that they will be saved, that they're going to go to heaven when they die, that they're going to be able to experience eternal life with our Lord and our Savior. Well, I had to ask myself the question, is that true? Is it true? Jesus, you see, was asked a similar question, and that's the reason why I put that question up on the board earlier, okay? And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Jesus spoke often, if you read Scripture, if you read the New Testament, Jesus speaks often on the subject of who will be saved. And his response, I think for many of you, maybe, will shock you. Jesus teaches that few will be saved. There are many who believe that most people are going to go to heaven. And I got to tell you something, I want people to go to heaven. I want everybody to go to heaven. And so does God Almighty. He wants us to go. I mean, everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God wants us to go. Jesus teaches that few will be saved. I want to know what he says in the Word of God. I want to know what the Bible teaches. If somebody says, well, Steve, do you believe in the Bible? I absolutely do. And if you don't believe in the Bible, we need to talk, because there's great evidence that you need to see to understand that it is the inspired Word of God. I would love to talk with you about that. But I'm reminded of a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is what's in this gospel, what's in this New Testament will furnish you completely, will tell you everything you need to know, will give you the roadmap to heaven. Now, I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. And you want to know why? Because this isn't a bunch of people's opinions on the matter. This is what the Scriptures teach. It's what the New Testament teaches. It's what Jesus taught. And that is what is so important to me. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Now let me go through some examples right quick. Okay, this is a simple sermon. All right? Let's talk about the flood. Noah and the flood. Only 8 souls were saved during the flood. Only 8 of the whole world at that time. God Almighty, the creator of this earth and the creator of everyone that's ever been in it, and all the animals, the fish, the mountain lions, every kind of animal, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He created it all. And man became so sorry, so full of putridity, that he decided he's going to erase the whole thing except for 8 souls who believed in him and who obeyed him from their heart. Look at what it says. If he did not spare, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if he did not spare, the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness. Okay, what does righteousness mean? It means he believes in God Almighty and he's willing to obey the Lord. He's willing to do what God Almighty requests of him to do. A herald of righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I can go to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that story, right? Only three escaped destruction. Just three. And that whole city, that whole area, that whole country. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Now, I'll tell you what, when I read that, I understand that few were saved on that deal. Now, when I go to the children of Israel, before they entered the promised land, and we studied here Numbers not too long ago, do you recognize that only two men out of 603,550 over the age of 20 were permitted to enter the land of Canaan? Only Caleb and Joshua. That's it. The rest of them perished in the wilderness. You know, when I was looking at this, it just hit me. You know, all of a sudden, 603,550, and only two made it to the promised land. Sadly, according to the scripture, there will be few who find the way that leads to life. Let me tell you something. I want to be one of them. I can tell you that. I want to be one of them. I want to find out what the path is. I want to find out where the road is. I want to know the way to get there. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the only roadmap I know of. That's what we're going to study this morning. This right here. The New Testament. The New Covenant. So, Jesus says the gate's narrow and the way's hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So here's the question. Where is the way that leads to life? Now, what does the Bible teach? What does Jesus say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the way. You want to know the way? I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. And as you can see by the poll, there are many that believe that they will be saved. Well, are they following the way? Are they following the truth? Are they following the life? Well, I can tell you one thing, if you're not, you won't be saved. That's what Jesus says, if you believe what Jesus teaches. Now, many today, I've heard, as I've spoken to so many, and I want to be sure you folks understand something. I don't talk to anybody that I don't believe with all of my heart, believe that they're doing the best they can. They all want to go to heaven when they die. They all want to live their life in the best fashion possible, serving people and doing all that they can do. But I hear this all the time. You know, I have people tell me, well, you know, really doesn't matter what you believe. Really, I mean, as long as you believe and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you just believe that, okay, then that's all that's required. Now, I had one gentleman, and again, I want to tell you, I believe everyone that I speak to is sincere, and I believe they love the Lord, and I believe they're trying to do the best that they can. One fella told me, he says, well, you know, Steve, he said, really, all you need to do, and we can do it right here, he said, all you need to do is pray the sinner's prayer. And I said, well, I'd love to go to God in prayer with you, but I said, could you show me in Scripture where anybody said the sinner's prayer? Anywhere, show it to me. I want to know because I want to do that. And he says, well, I mean, all you got to do is say something like, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And let's see, I believed you died for my sins so I could be forgiven. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for coming into my life. Amen. You want to repeat that with me? I said, well, I believe all that, but I said, that's not what the scriptures teach in terms of how it is that we're going to find the way to heaven. That's just not, there's no example of anybody doing that in here. And there's no command for us to do anything like that in here. It didn't even imply. that's what we're supposed to do. And I said, so I tell you what, I said, since we're talking about it, why don't we open up the scriptures and see what the truth teaches? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Jesus taught that no one comes to the Father but through him. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. What is the way to Jehovah? What is the way to God the Father? What is the way to heaven? Jesus is the only way. We need to remember. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What about the Jews in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost responding to Peter's preaching? What about them? Did they know the way? Did Peter tell them what to do? Did Peter explain what Jesus would have all of us do? Now, I want you to notice in verse 5 of chapter 2 in the book of Acts, it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. These are devout men. These are God-fearing men. These are people that love the Lord. Okay, I want to read this to you now. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter's preaching to them, and he's saying, you crucified the Savior. You crucified God. You crucified God's Son. And now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. It cut them to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Tell us. Tell us. We want to know the path. We want to know the road. We want to know what Jesus would have us to do. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was it that Peter told them to do? Repent. That means you're heading this direction in life. Repentance means to turn. You're going to turn and head towards God. Repent and be baptized. That word means immersed in water. That's what it means. And that's what Peter told them that they had to do in order to have forgiveness of sin. Okay? Now let's look at the Ethiopian. What about the Ethiopian on the way back home from Jerusalem? What about that fellow? Well, the scriptures teach us in Acts chapter 8, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. This was a God-fearing man. This was a man that loved God Almighty and wanted to do what was right. And he came to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. I bet Isaiah chapter 53. If you had never read that, you need to go read it. Isaiah chapter 53. Then Philip came unto him and opened his mouth, and beginning with that scripture in Isaiah, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He stopped the chariot right there. Right then. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What is it that you think Philip told him? What do you think Philip said? Here's the road. Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, sir, here's the road, here's the path that Jesus has laid down. Repentance, confession, baptism. And he stopped that chariot, and they got out, and he commands the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. You know, it's important that you see that, and you understand what these words mean. Go back and take a look at what baptism means. You'll understand why they went down into the water. Because he was immersed. He was baptized. Lydia, a worshiper of God who kept the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Again, I want you to see this, ladies and gentlemen. These are people that love God. These are people that worship God. These are people that want to do what's right. And what is it that they're told to do in Acts? What are they told? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, the apostle. And after she was baptized, it's interesting to me that she learned the word, she heard what was said by Paul, she was baptized, and not just her, but her whole household. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. What about Saul of Tarsus, okay? I'm just trying to give you some examples of people, okay, that were very devoted to their God, all right? And they wanted to do what's right, and they want to go to heaven when they die. Acts chapter 26. I myself was convinced, Paul says, that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he did this in the name of the God that he believed he served. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. This was a man who was just focused on who he believed his God was and what it was that his God had instructed him. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme in the raging fury against them. I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And what was it that happened to Saul of Tarsus? He's on the road to Damascus. And what happens on the road to Damascus? Do y'all know the story? In Acts chapter 22? What happens? He meets up with Jesus. Great light shone. And he went to the ground and he said, Lord, he knew it had to be God. Lord, what would you have me to do? And Jesus said, you go into the city and there it'll be told you what it is you need to do. Now understand, this is a man who had great devotion to his God. He was doing what he believed was right. He was walking the path he thought should be walked. And he meets Jesus, and Jesus says, go into the city, and there will be told thee what thou must do. And he gets to the city, and in verse 16, Ananias looks at him and said, and by the way, I want you to understand, Ananias was scared to death of Saul of Tarsus, I can tell you that. Because typically, Saul would have grabbed him, yanked him, thrown him in jail. In fact, Ananias was quite concerned when the Lord asked him to deal with Saul. But in verse 16, Scripture says that Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now you go back to Acts chapter 2. You go back to Acts chapter 22. And you look and see if that's not what it says. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I can tell you, being religious and being zealous is not enough. You cannot be a Christian who believes that salvation can be found anywhere outside of Christ and outside of his teaching. That is just not possible. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is so important, ladies and gentlemen. So many are convinced that all who believe will be saved. I just don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I want all men to be saved. But Jesus says few will be. You know why? You know why that is? Because people don't want to obey. People want to do things their way. And I'm like that. I get hard-headed sometimes. I decide I want to do things the way I want to do it. When it comes to God, we need to stop and really think about what it is that we're doing, the way that he would have us to go. So many believe there's no need for obedience to the gospel of Christ. So many believe that repentance is not necessary. Changing your heart, changing your attitude. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know who says that? Jesus. Confession, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You want to know what confession is? Confession is confessing Jesus Christ to everybody that you come in contact with every day. That's what confession is. And being baptized for the remission of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the path. That is the way to eternal life. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I am shocked by this. How many of God's creation, people, proclaim him as their Lord and their King? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, where is the will? Where do we find the will? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Right here. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Now, you know what that day is. That day is the judgment day, ladies and gentlemen. Scripture is clear about that. We will face God. We will face him face to face. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You know what that means? Lawlessness. You didn't follow the law. You didn't obey me. You didn't love me enough. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14? You know what he says in John chapter 14? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he says his commandments are not grievous. I never knew you. Depart from me. I tell you what, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, ladies and gentlemen. So many believe him to be their Lord and Savior. They spent their life in service to him. I see it every day. But they haven't obeyed the Father's will, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to remember, this is so important. And being made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You must obey him. If you want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you want to look at all the men of faith. You go back and look at all the men of faith. And I'll tell you, they believed in God Almighty. But you know why they're in there? Because they obeyed God. They did what the Lord told them to do. They submitted themselves. They bowed to the Lord. And this is what we have to do. He's the author of salvation. He's the author of salvation to all who obey him. Now, what happens to those who do not obey his gospel? I found this interesting that in the poll, around a quarter of American adults, 26% actually, do not believe in heaven or hell at all. That's a quarter of our population. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't believe in heaven or hell at all. Does that shock you? I don't know. I was talking to Brian, and I've talked to Mike too back in the back. We were having a conversation. You know, when I was young, gospel preachers, man, they talked about torment and hell and outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'll tell you. I mean, that scared the life out of me. And they talked a lot about that. I think maybe too much. Maybe not enough grace and too much of the other. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's opposite. I think today we talk too much about grace and too much about salvation and too much about the love of the Lord. And we don't talk about the other part of that, which is the fact that if you're not obedient to him, you don't follow him, and you don't love him, then this is where you go. when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not. And I want you to catch this, okay? I want you to underline this. If you don't have a passage or you don't write in your book, your Bible, I want you to write in this one, because this right here is so important. And let me just say, if you believe that this is the Word of God, go to 2 Thessalonians. By the way, the Word of God has stood the test of time, hasn't it? There have been people try to burn it up. Been people try to destroy it. Look at what it says. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And I can tell you something. If that's the truth, I want to go there. I don't want to go there. Not all believers will be saved. God wants them to be saved. Belief alone is not going to save you. Not according to Scripture. You must meet the gospel's conditions. And Jesus says they're not grievous. They're not difficult. You know, this idea of belief. Do you know that the demons believe? You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You can have all the faith and belief that you want to. But if you're not willing to obey the Lord, then you don't believe. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You know, I sit here and I think about that. God Almighty came to Abraham. Now you think about it. Y'all have, a lot of you have children out there. I know I'm going to be going too long today. You got children out there. Would you put them on an altar and kill them? Abraham was willing to do that. God stayed his hand. I'm not going to read all this. Some believed but were unwilling to confess his name. John chapter 12, Jesus, they were unwilling to confess, but for fear of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. They were worried about what other people think. People today are truly convinced that many, if not all, will be saved simply by acknowledging Jesus is Lord and praying a prayer. Acknowledging the fact that he's Jesus. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a comforting doctrine. And it's viewed and it's praised as being tolerant. It's viewed as being loving and simple. But if one really desires to follow Jesus, and if you believe the New Testament is the inspired word of God, then you must abide in his teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's provided his Son, perfect sacrifice, the mediator for us. We must believe and obey. Let me leave you with one passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. For baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe in this book? All I've tried to do this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is just direct you to what this says. That's all. That's all. And if I've read something incorrectly, please let me know, because I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven when I die, and I want everybody else to as well. But based on what I read in this book, if I'm not obedient to the Lord and I don't meet his conditions, confessing his name before men, repenting of my sins, and being baptized, immersed in water for remission of sin, I can't go. Maybe you're subject to that invitation this morning. If you are, or you want to know more, get together with me afterwards and let's sit down and let's study. Daniel, our other capable gospel preacher, gospel evangelist, is here. We've got elders in this audience. Let me tell you something about this congregation. All these people study the Word of God, and they can take you to what the Word of God says
And they can show you, because that's what they did. And that's all we want to do here. We just want to follow the book. That's it. Not what people think, not what the other congregations of people are doing, and not what's popular, and not the health and wealth doctrine and all that stuff. We're not interested in that. What we're interested in is the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. Because let me tell you something, folks, and I really believe this with all my heart. If I'm not going to study this and obey the Lord, if I don't love Him enough, like John chapter 14 teaches me to do that, well, let me tell you, I'm going to throw the mess out and I'm going to go play golf. And I mean that sincerely and kindly. It's a beautiful day to play golf, do something else. Instead of come here as we're commanded, worship God, sing, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know the reason why we do that a cappella? Because that's what the book says. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. It's just been an honor to speak to you this morning. All the visitors that are here, I want you to know it's an honor to speak to you. And I want you to know, I'm not conceited in any way about this, and I don't have all the answers. All I can do is read this and try to share it with you. If you're subject to God's invitation, if you need the prayers of this congregation, if you want us just to gather around you and pray and build you up and help you, we're willing to do that. If you want to obey the gospel and be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins, the same way Saul was, the same way the Ethiopian eunuch was, the same way the people old Acts chapter 2 were, we got the water back here, and I think it's warm. It's not always warm, but I think it's warm today. We'll be happy to do that, to assist you in that. You're subject to the invitation. Won't you come? As we stand and as we sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother?
Oh, why do you?